Happy Friday, Dog Nation. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. And if you think a little bit of rain, and let's face it, outside it's more than just a little, but if you think a little bit of rain is going to dampen my excitement for G-Day, you, my friend, have another thing coming. We are over the moon, shot out of a cannon today, because tomorrow, between the hedges, we get to see some real football. And for 14 early enrollees, we get to see them for the first time on Sanford Stadium's turf. And boy, what a day it's going to be. A lot of UGA recruiting is a part of that, too. As you might imagine, we're going to do a bunch of that on today's show. Jeff Sintel will join us a little bit later on. It is going to be a really fun day before G-Day as we build up to the big one inside Sanford Stadium tomorrow. We're glad to have you with us for that. I also want to start the show with at least a little bit of a response from Kirby Smart to the dumb stuff that Florida did a little bit earlier this week. In fact, let's begin with that right now as Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, begins right now.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So we are loaded on G-Day stuff today, as you might imagine, and like 90% of the show is going to be devoted to G-Day. A lot of that is recruiting. It's Jeff Sintel coming up on that in just a moment. Before that, though, and let me get into my newsman voice here and kind of pop the papers like an anchor would on the anchor desk, a follow-up to a story that we covered earlier this week. You may remember that Florida coach Dan Mullen, boy, he and the Gators apparently had themselves a good old time at their spring game. Was it last weekend that Florida had a spring game? They may have had a big time and had some fun, because apparently Dan Mullen, goofy as he is, does a lot of goofy things during a spring game, and you already know that he used the spring game attendance total as a troll against Georgia. This is relevant because of something that Kirby Smart has said, which I'll get to in a moment, but for the people who may have missed a show earlier this week, or maybe just catching up on all of this, let me remind you quickly what Dan Mullen said, that yes, folks, read into our spring game attendance total. It's a jab at one of our rivals. You got to figure out what it is. Here's what Mullen said earlier this week.
Any hidden meeting in the score or the attendance?
I don't know. I didn't hear the...
It's like 39,476.
34,976. Yeah, there is. I'm going to let you guys figure it out. you guys think about it and get back to me. Yeah. I don't know.
So Dan Mullen says, think about it and get back to me. Some folks did. As you'll remember, there was a Reddit page, Florida Gators Reddit page, that decided that the announced total of 39,476 was 39, the number of years it's been since Georgia's won a national championship, and 476, which is, I guess, supposed to be the number of games Georgia has played since then, but as we kind of did the math on, that's not technically accurate, maybe necessarily, but that's what Florida wanted to do on this. You're already aware of that. Well, Kirby Smart, the Georgia coach, made an appearance today in Atlanta on Atlanta sports radio station 680 The Fan, and he was asked about all of this, and Kirby Smart gives you pretty much exactly what you'd expect to hear, and it ain't much, and I'm going to read between the lines and say he ain't happy. Here is what Kirby said with Steak Shapiro, Brian Fenner, and Sandra Golden as a part of the front row this morning on this Friday on 680 The Fan. Here is Kirby being asked about Dan Mullen.
Did you hear about the Dan Mullen trolling of Georgia a little bit? Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard.
39,476 people showed up at his spring day.
What'd you think of
I'm glad they feel comfortable about talking about it.
That's all we're going to get from you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Man,
nothing
that is
more
fantastic.
Than that.
So it's not surprising that Kirby Smart's pretty tight-lipped about all of this. That's probably not that big of a surprise to anybody here. But I do think that sets in motion what we can expect to see later on this fall, and I really do. You know, when I kind of joked about this on Twitter a little bit this week, kind of taking my jabs back at Florida, I got a response from a few Florida fans here and there, and I typically do when I do my thing on social media. But one of the Florida fans was like, hey, man, this is a rivalry. This is all in good fun. Why don't you lighten up? And, I don't typically respond back to people like that. But had I responded back, what I would have said was, listen, I'm in a great mood. I'm having a good time with this. It ain't my sense of humor you got to worry about here. It's Kirby Smart's, and he doesn't like this kind of stuff. And he has a history at Georgia of using this to his advantage. And in some cases, if you want to go back to the 2017 game when some of Mullen's Mississippi State players spouted off about Georgia – My guess is that may have been a little extra motivation in that game then, and I'm guessing that Kirby, even if this is ultimately not that big of a deal, and for the most part, I do think this is all just fun. Even the Georgia people who are, you know, kind of pretending to be worked up about it, no one's really all that mad about it. But Georgia fans are also practical. They are, I guess, pragmatic is another word that you could use here. They know that if Georgia can use this to its advantage, it only makes the cocktail party more fun when we get there. I always say October, but I guess this year it's in November. Either way, though, we think the results are the same, and we think that Dan Mullen has written for himself a check that he's going to have a very difficult time cashing once you get around to that game. So kind of funny to hear Kirby Smart being asked about that, and Kirby Smart kind of sidesteps the whole thing. With that out of the way here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, let me also move on to the task at hand, which is G-Day on Saturday, and you better believe that we are getting really excited about this. And one of the things that helps us get excited, the huge number of recruits expected to be on campus on Saturday, well, a few of them already arriving on campus, some of them already talking up UGA, and you just get the sense that from a recruiting standpoint, this is just going to be a massive day, a massive point on the calendar for the 2020 Georgia recruiting cycle. Now, I feel, in my role here as host at Dog Nation Daily, I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of not fanning the flames of hype and hysteria for this too much, because the fact is, I'm seeing from a lot of you in our comment sections, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, when I post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com, some of you, what you're saying to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, I'm getting from a lot of you this belief of UGA's getting a commit this week, NBA. You better watch out. You better get ready. And listen, I'm trying to do my part not to get too excited on that. I do try to temper expectations, my own, your own, all of us in between. But a lot of you are getting really excited, especially when you see some of these guys start to roll in. In fact, let me let you see some of the stuff that's already out there on social media that does lay the sort of the framework, the foundation for what's going to be an awesome Saturday, rain or shine, between the hedges. Let me start here, I guess, with Kendall Milton, five-star running back. Now, y'all know I'm not the most social media savvy guy in the world, but I have learned that the push pin means that he's actually in Athens. In fact, you can actually see down at the bottom that he is indeed in Athens, Georgia. Jeff Sintel, this is actually good reporting from Jeff. This tweet confirms something that Jeff had said a while ago, that given the way it was all going to shake out for Kendall, he was going to Tuscaloosa earlier, and then with G-Day on Saturday, that he should be in a position for a multi-day visit to Georgia. And that tweet would seem to confirm that already on campus as of Thursday, G-Day on Saturday. So Kendall's going to get himself a nice long look at Athens, Georgia. And some of y'all know what multiple day stays in Athens can do for a young man. So we should certainly see how Kendall feels about UGA after spending a little bit of time here on campus. It sounds like he's going to get a great opportunity to do just that. I think he's one of the most crucial visitors of all for Georgia on Saturday. I just think that need to replenish the stock of elite running backs of the class of 2020 is a crucial need. Milton is the guy, as a fan, I'm speaking strictly as a fan and not some sort of scout or analyst, but as a fan, he's the running back I've grown to like more than any other for the 2020 cycle, and it's exciting to see that he's already in Athens. Another big-time visitor that I'm also really excited about, and apparently he's feeling good about Georgia too, is Keely Ringo, the five-star defensive back from Arizona. He gives you the G-Day. He's got a really cool edit there saying he's going to see us soon there on that. Good stuff from Ringo to be there. Ringo, if memory serves, was the first of these kind of major visitors to announce that he was going to be on campus. So the fact that he kind of sets all of this in motion, I think, makes this really interesting. Now, Georgia also got a commitment from a defensive back earlier this week. Dog Nation had great coverage of Jalen Kimber when he made his announcement on that front. But listen, Ringo, as Jeff Sintel talked about this on Before the Hedges on Wednesday, this is a pretty special prospect. This is a very, very interesting kind of true cornerback type guy, and having him on campus, I think, is really fun. One more thing before we turn the page on this, I was also kind of interested to see that the former UGA commit, a pretty big defensive lineman, who, as he's departed from Georgia's class, seems to be kind of growing in stature with the way that he's viewed by many of the major national recruiting services. That's Warren Brinson from down at IMG Academy. Looks like Brinson's going to be back on hand. Jeff has written about this at DogNation.com. Brinson confirms this himself from his Twitter account, saying he's looking forward to being in Athens. So you got a lot of guys who, in Brinson's case, used to be a UGA commit. You've got some guys on campus who may be about to be a UGA commit. You've got some guys guys who are already UGA commits. One way or another, it sort of adds up to be an incredible day where fans are, I'm guessing, going to be looking to get inside the stadium early. Not only are they excited about seeing what Georgia does on the field, especially the guys we haven't seen as of yet, but they're also excited to see when those recruits are kind of lined up there on that sideline, who has a big smile on their face, who's getting some one-on-one attention from some recognizable coaches, who's really having the red carpet rolled out for them. These are the kinds of recruiting days that a lot of programs, including the aforementioned Florida, could only dream about having. Georgia gets them regularly. G-Day's become one of the similar dates on that calendar, and it's one of the things that makes the spring game in Athens tomorrow a whole lot more fun. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, with a daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and we are presented today by Kroger. Great to have you with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And by the way, we were at Marlowe's earlier this week. Someone in talking to me called DogNation.com the world-famous DogNation.com. And I feel like that's a branding initiative for me that's successful once some of y'all also start calling it the world-famous DogNation.com. So I got a kick out of that. Speaking of our friends at Kroger, let me remind you, as we head towards the holiday weekend this weekend with Easter on Sunday, that you got a great chance to take care of everything you need right there at your local Kroger. You can order online for your Easter brunch and a whole lot more. They've got party platters starting at just $19.99, which is a great, great price on a crucial ingredient, a crucial thing to go with those great Easter dinners, those great Easter brunches. So check out Kroger on that. You can order online, or you can see a deli associate for more details. But one quick warning here: if you want these by Sunday, you got to get them ordered 24 hours in advance. I wanted to make sure you were aware of that. If you're looking to have this ready to go on Sunday, especially with G-Day on Saturday, go ahead and get this done today so you can be ready to go for that on Sunday. Any kind of party platter, any kind of thing like that you want for that Easter brunch, that Easter dinner, check that out today and get that ordered so it'll be good to go and ready to rock and roll come Sunday. Great to have Kroger with us as a part of the program here today. With that said, I want to move on to not the recruiting for a moment, because we'll do a lot of that with Jeff Centel here in a minute. Let me also deal with G-Day on the field for a second, because as we go around the doghouse brought to you today by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp, I feel like that the closer we get to this, you know, there's that list of guys that you're curious about seeing, and hey, who's going to have a chance to, for the first time, shine between the hedges? Who's a veteran that you're looking forward to seeing big things from? You can kind of go on and on about that. But the closer we get, it's a player that we've seen a good bit of that I'm also a little bit curious about seeing on G-Day on Saturday. And the reason why I start to feel that way are some of the things that he said earlier this week. I'm talking about Georgia safety Richard LeCount. Now, I have been very clear about my feelings about LeCount. I would say that, like many of you would say, that 2018 was probably not a perfect year for LeCount. There were some good moments. There was a great interception, for instance, against Alabama in the SEC Championship. There were some not-so-good moments. But those maybe not-so-good moments for LeCount don't do anything to change my opinion that he is still going to have a big junior season in a Georgia uniform, and because of his magnetic personality, is going to be one of the real leaders of this team. But when it comes to those moments of imperfection, when it comes to those moments of LeCount maybe not quite being exactly what you would have hoped he would be, a lot of that seems to stem from maybe some missed tackles, maybe not stepping up and stopping the run as well as you'd like to see him be able to do. I know Connor Riley wrote about this at a Good Day UGA piece earlier this week at DogNation.com. I guess Pro Football Focus had him for 15 missed tackles a year ago. That's a number that obviously Dog fans would like to change. Here's the good news, though. LeCount, speaking this week to myself, Dog Nation's Mike Griffith, Chip Towers, Connor Riley, the other reporters there in Athens, he's aware of the criticism of him that's out there. And not only that, he views himself much in the same regard. Apparently this offseason, when it comes to the weight room and everything else, he has had an incredible goal on a mission to achieve a very certain objective. And for Dog fans who felt like maybe they didn't see everything from LeCount they wanted to see a year ago, LeCount's candor here in talking about wanting to get stronger so that he can be a better tackler, I think this is going to make you feel really good about LeCount. Here's an exchange he had with Mike Griffith from Athens earlier this week. Here's Richard LeCount.
How much have you put on in the offseason? It looks like you've been more physical since the Sugar Bowl, maybe the effort to beef up the tackling or strength. What have you done in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was a point of emphasis during offseason training. I try to put on at least 15 pounds. So since January, I have put on like, 12 to 15, just keeping on bulk. being able to be more physical at the point of attack and tackling, going back to my fundamentals, basic tackling, you know, being able to help the team because that's, you know, that's the main reason why.
Can you tell the difference when you bring it now?
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel better. I feel more confident in my strength and things like that because I feel, you know, that I put in a lot of work to be able to, you know, change this, that problem that I had last year.
I mean, I don't think you can ask much more from a player than what LeCount gives you right there, essentially admitting that, hey, last year when it comes to being a good tackler, that was a problem for me. And yet he lays out, and he doesn't owe us that. He doesn't have to tell us everything he's thinking on that, but he chooses to. He lays out the specific ways in which he's gone about doing it. I'm trying to be a better fundamental tackler. I'm trying to, you know, go back to the nuts and bolts of how to be a good tackler. He mentions that, but he also mentions, which may be the most important part of this, adding the extra strength that gives me a chance to be able to do that. And by the way, as he's working on that this spring, as Kirby Smart told us last Saturday, this is also a moment when he's also toggling back and forth between playing these two safety positions, kind of learning some of what J.R. Reed also does for Georgia in the event that it's LeCount in that role as the chief leader of the safeties next season. I think the words you just heard from LeCount there speak very well of him as a player, and it's one of the reasons why I'm still very high on him going into this season. I like that from him, and I'll admit, he's got my curiosity piqued. I'm looking forward to seeing him on Saturday when Brian Harrion or DeAndre Swift, one of these running backs, is toting the rock. I'm looking forward to seeing LeCount meet him at the point of attack, and I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Richard have some really good tackles in G-Day on Saturday. I think that's really good stuff. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and let's face it, when it comes to divorce, sometimes if that's something that you're dealing with, you don't even know where to start. You've got no experience in this whatsoever. Well, the good news is Merriweather and Tharp can help, and here's what's even better. You don't even have to be a client, because with thousands of free web pages, podcasts, divorce guides, and a whole lot more, Merriweather and Tharp has set it as a goal to try to help everyone better understand the divorce process. And of course, our attorneys are just a free telephone consultation away. Merriweather and Tharp truly is helping clients through difficult times. And if you want to find out more details about these free resources that are available, or to get in contact with someone from Merriweather and Tharp, please check them out online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. The website, once again, is theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, we're on Dog Nation Daily here today, presented by Kroger. It's great to have you with us as a part of the program. We got a lot more on the situation with UGA and G-Day on the field later on in the show, but a lot of you have a lot of curiosity about what the recruiting part of this is all going to look like. And when it comes to stuff like that, there's no one we'd rather turn to than our buddy Jeff Sintel. It's great to have him and you with us today as a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, Jeff Sintel, what a day it's going to be tomorrow. And we've already seen a lot of the recruits on social media kind of chiming in, either in Athens, on their way. There is clearly an excitement building for this. And, you know, you've covered a lot of these spring games, and you've seen a lot of these recruiting lists grow over the years. And certainly, whether it be the fans who are just at kind of a fever pitch to hear some good news, the recruits themselves, curious, many of them, some of them in case, at least visiting Athens for the first time. There's a real energy around this game right now, is there not?
Hey, Brandon, good morning, sir. How are you? I would say, let me be the first to coin this phrase, Brandon. It is raining five stars this weekend all over Athens, Georgia.
I like to hear that. So let me kind of get into this. I'm going to start with an open-ended question. You know, we've talked about Mekel Sherman a bunch. We've talked about Keely Ringo a bunch. You know how I feel about Kendall Milton. We've talked about him a bunch. I'm going to get into some other names that we haven't talked about quite so much a little bit later on. But just from a kind of big-picture perspective, which of these visits, either one we have highlighted, one we haven't highlighted enough, which is the most critical for Georgia in your mind this weekend?
Ooh, man, that is a weighted topic. You know, the open-ended thing there gives me a lot of parlance, let's say. But, you know, I think, first of all, I don't know if people get this. This was sort of a calculated risk with the Georgia staff and Kirby Smart. You know, one, they felt that there was a chance to maybe to break away from two things with G-Days of the past. One is they would always have a conflict with Master Saturday. And then two was sometimes recruits and television networks had to decide, okay, the Clemson spring game, the Alabama spring game, the Ohio State spring game, the Oklahoma spring game. Well, Georgia kind of detached from all that stuff and made a calculated risk with Easter weekend. And what they've done, and it's not just to me, Brandon, from my view of this, it's not just that getting the homegrowns a little bit in there, or even the Southeastern Conference footprint guys like You know, the recruits in Florida, the recruits in Alabama, the recruits in North Carolina and Tennessee. But it is these out-of-range, you know, roaming visitors is what we would like to see. And, you know, you've got a California unofficial. And to answer your question, I think the unofficial from Kendall Milton would rank very high up on the board there, especially because it's going to be what amounts to maybe a four-day trip, you know, around Athens, Georgia, to get really cozy potentially with everything they see at Georgia. And then you've got the other one, I think, when you have to kind of break out which ones that maybe seem a little different. You know, Keely Ringo, this is another unofficial visit, still not his official, which says a lot. But then you also got to include maybe a guy that I think we talk about a lot that maybe not enough to feed a ravenous five-star podcaster's appetite would be Paris Johnson Jr.
Yeah.
Now, you kind of intersect a lot of things with they don't really feel they're committed to Ohio State anymore. That's words from his head coach that were published on Cleveland.com. And the fact that Georgia just has a sizable potential opening. You know, everybody, you know, we've been talking about this for maybe 3 or 4 months now, Brandon, about the need for tackles in this class and how, you know, just another good season, a very good season from Andrew Thomas, and then another, you know, moving forward season for Isaiah Wilson might open up two tackle slots in the program. But you also got to remember there's a depth tackle in DeMarcus Hayes who will also be out of eligibility after this year. So right away, there's the chance for Georgia to get multiple big five-star names into the class in 2020 to get a kind of a nice little on-ramp to play right away. Broderick Jones is already in there. Paris Johnson is a guy that's already taken back-to-back unofficials, and now here he comes on the official visit. He was just at Ohio State spring game earlier this month, so he's going to have a good taste test right there to compare the feelings. And we also mentioned the running backs. Let me mention the other guy who I feel is a priority tackle for this class, and that would be Kate Ratledge out of Darlington. Listen, let's look at the book here really quickly. You don't need to be a Dog Nation recruiting CS scientist to figure this stuff out, but Pittman's a guy, he has his horses in the barn, and he has his hay in the barn well before everybody else gets their stuff done. Pittman, with the exception of Clay Webb, who wanted to go really, really late, Pittman usually gets his guys, his sizable guys for all these 2018, 2019, 2017 classes at Georgia. He gets his done in early. He gets his work turned in early.
Yep.
And you might see Georgia start building those tackles that they need for the future of the program really early in the 2020 class.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. There's so much I want to ask you about. So let me piggyback off something else you said, and then we'll kind of roll on some of these other names. So you mentioned Paris Johnson Jr. When he took his most recent unofficial visit to Georgia, I get the impression they were working really hard to try to keep that a secret. And some recruits like that. You know, Otis Reese, for instance, Jeff, was always, you know, pretty quiet, you know, I guess, you know, very, very kind of sneaky when he was on campus. Do you think that a guy like Johnson, this go around, since people do know he's going to be here, will he be a little bit more open, a little bit more public about being on UGA? Because for me, if he's, you know, sort of officially uncommitted from Ohio State, that's the next step on this. Is he willing to be seen in public with UGA? That, to me, would go a long way towards determining, you know, how real this is, that Georgia might be able to go into Cincinnati and get an offensive lineman that the Buckeyes really want.
Yeah. Okay, Brandon, this is just going to be that. This is going to be the tantalizing part of the day. I know you had some good Marlowe's food last night, but, you know, think about this right there earlier this week. You've got Georgia, and, you know, everybody will know Paris Johnson. He'll look like the Eiffel Tower on the sidelines. He's about 6'7", 300 pounds or so out of St. Xavier High in Cincinnati. But what Georgia could potentially put together, the number one offensive tackle in the class, that's Paris Johnson Jr. off the 24/7 Sports composite. The number two offensive tackle of the class is Broderick Jones, who very likely will not be there, but I don't think that's any cause for worry with Broderick. Broderick just doesn't like doing the recruiting visit thing as much as other guys. He just wants to get there and go play. It's almost like seeing a toy in a packaging for him but telling him he can't play with it yet. That's sort of what it is, the way Broderick Jones used these visits. And then the third potential offensive tackle would be Kate Ravitch, who's already the number four offensive tackle. Somewhere, and I don't know whether this is the stuff that might give Dan Mullen nightmares at night, but somewhere, some coaches are going to look at this stuff and go, number one offensive tackle, number two offensive tackle, number four offensive tackle. Georgia might have three of the top four offensive tackles in the 2020 class. Now, that's something, it's another recruiting feat for this program that makes you just go sigh and exhale, because this staff in the recruiting realm still continues to go where no recruiting staff has gone before.
That's so well said. It's Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. We're rolling through a lot of these recruits visiting for G-Day on Saturday. Let me go back to Kendall Milton for a moment, because you brought him up. And, Jeff, you don't like to toot your own horn, so I'll toot it for you. It was really a couple of weeks ago that you were on here saying, watch out for that Kendall Milton visit being a multi-day unofficial visit. And the tweet that we get from Milton yesterday would seem to be a confirmation of that. Already in Athens on that Thursday, as you said, this potentially sets up for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday at least. I'm assuming going back sometime on Sunday then. That to me is a confirmation of the reporting that you had weeks ago when it comes to the Milton visit. And specifically, how much extra value is there when Georgia gets a chance to show him off the campus on those multiple days? And how valuable is it for Milton to learn as much about Georgia as he can? Because honestly, we want these guys to feel good about the decision they ultimately make. So how much is the fact that this thing is several days worth of time in and around the UGA campus, how much does that help Milton with his process, and how much does that help Georgia when it comes to entertaining Milton?
Yeah, Brennan, it's kind of like Milton and Georgia pulling up to your favorite drive-thru window and supersizing an official visit, because you only get 48 hours with an official visit, but I think the Milton visit might stretch a little bit longer across that. You'll even have a game day environment with G-Day and the dog walk. And, you know, something earlier, you know, there's so much stuff to get to, but I think this class and this program has arrived at a point where, I don't know, I'm sure there's a funny line here to do it, but it's something sort of like real G's move in silence or real OG's move in silence. This might be the sneakiest class, Brandon, so far under Kirby Smart's watch, because what's happening here is Georgia doesn't need those pictures popped out anymore of big-time prospects visiting. I am of the accord that I feel this staff, especially with the 2020 class, has been bringing a lot of guys in the back door and out the back door, and the whole world doesn't need to see it on Instagram or Twitter either. I think that's something that this staff has been doing where, hey, we don't need the publicity or the hype or the big headline booms for the world to see that these recruits are visiting. I think they're doing a lot of this recruiting with some of these guys in silence, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of these big names that are at G-Day on Saturday, when we go back and look at the long timeline of their recruiting story, that they've been in Athens a lot more than the rest of college football and other rival recruiters even know.
That's really interesting to think about. Now, a guy that's sort of the opposite of that, though, a guy who has not been content to stay silent, he's been, you know, pretty hyped up and very public on Twitter, is a guy like five-star linebacker Mekale Sherman. He's on his way to Georgia this weekend, too. And, you know, Jeff, I joke with the audience before in all of this that, you know, I've tried to temper expectations and try to not get too excited when Sherman said the things about Georgia that he said. But this will continue what has been kind of a long string of visits for him to UGA, and he's talked up the dogs a lot. Now, I'm trying to do my part here by not putting the cart before the horse, but a lot of Georgia fans love the idea that Sherman has been, you know, seemingly as vocal as he's been about the dogs.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not breaking new ground, although I do chuckle a little bit, Brandon, at your tempering expectations. Maybe we should send this film into the Emmys or some sort of podcaster golden microphone awards for best acting job by a support
to the best that I can.
Tempering expectations, that's a good one, sir.
To the best that I can. I'm tempering expectations.
Yeah, you're doing about as good as that one, but you're doing with the listening face, man. Let's be clear on that.
that's probably fair.
I would say with Sherman, it's no secret that if anybody wants to populate a list of the guys or the hopeful guys with some realm of potential where enough marination on that recruiting process has taken place, I would say Sherman would be one of those guys that has to be on everyone's list as they're trying to put together with potential. You know, everybody likes to whip up those stories that says who could commit on G-Day. Well, shouldn't shock anyone for them to read something and see Sherman's name in there. But with everything with that, I mean, this is just a situation where Georgia, I think they're now in seventh or eighth. I think they're ninth. They just passed Iowa with the Jalen Boogieland-Kimber commitment earlier this week. If the right things fall, Georgia could have a top five class with maybe a was still well under double-digit recruits. They currently only have six, but Georgia could go back into a top five class if certain things fall a certain way. And everybody likes to predict, but here's what's got to happen with a lot of these guys. There might just be an urge. There might just be one of those quick Carson Beck short timelines, a Jalen Kimber short timelines, where the feel and lure of appeal, even with rains in the forecast, if Georgia even comes close to getting 65,000 with the same energy that Dog Nation is known for, those are the things that kind of push almost about to pop commitments over the edge.
We've talked a ton about Georgia's national recruiting footprint now for a while, but defensive back from Arizona is another example of how far it stretches. Keely Ringo is going to be on campus tomorrow, the five-star cornerback. How exactly did this relationship come to be that Ringo would leave Arizona, come to Georgia for its spring game? How was it that Georgia was able to get in with Ringo?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with Georgia's reputation as a defensive backs place. We've talked on our programs a lot lately, Brandon, about how Clemson is really suiting up and stacking up well for defensive linemen. Georgia is doing quite the same now at defensive back with DeAndre Baker, and also at linebacker with guys like Roquan Smith, Leonard Floyd, the current guys in the program. You know, DeAndre Walker is another guy that's, you know, people have noticed the way these guys play for Georgia, Lorenzo Carter. I think, you know, Ringo, Georgia and other schools, and you got to throw Texas in there. You probably got to throw Oregon in there. You got to throw a couple more schools in there with Ringo. But Georgia is really helped by the fact that there's not a dominant program in the state of Arizona. There's not a dominant school, and probably we can call it not a dominant conference because the Pac-12 hasn't put anybody in the BCS in quite some time. It's probably kind of like the Gatorhater countdown for those that don't like the Pac-12 a little bit. But this is what we said on the hedges. And, you know, there's no disrespect to Tyson Campbell here at all. But when you talk about more of a ready-made five-star, ready to come in and just erase dudes on a field, you know, Ringo has that. He's 6'2". He's about 210 pounds. And he's clocking those 10-5s as well. You know, that's something right there that is very unique. And, you know, he brought his mom with him on his one of his earlier unofficials, and now you see Keely Ringo starting to do some of those things, like, you know, the Who With It on Twitter, where other guys are responding, pass rushers and DBs. And it seems clear to me with what Georgia has done. I mean, especially since Tyson Campbell was sort of a breakthrough, and then they find a gem in Eric Stokes as well. You add that to the momentum from DeAndre Baker. You add a Tyreek Stevenson as well. And now you got Boogie Kimber coming in. I mean, it's almost becoming where Georgia is now a place for top five defensive backs to come arrive. And, I mean, Brandon, you can remember just 2 years ago we were talking about this program and how you thought they needed to get that five-star top five corner. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a world now, you know, not even 36 months later where Georgia might have four of those guys now.
Yeah, you're right. I love attacking an issue like that with just big numbers. And, you know, Ringo being on campus after Georgia had such success the year before, I do think, Jeff, that is the recipe for really locking down that defensive secondary for a long time to come. I think Kirby's been happy with the secondary this spring and adding even more talent to that, which Georgia is going to do with Jalen Kimber and has a chance to do with Keely Ringo. I think that's fun to think about. I was on the Twitter feed for the pretty good-looking defensive end out of South Carolina, Jordan Bird, this week, and he retweeted a story from a UGA fan site about him being in Athens on Saturday. That leads me to believe that Birch is indeed going to be on campus. Is this real, Jeff? Is this a business trip for a guy considering Georgia, or is this a weekend getaway for a guy that's ultimately going to stay in state with either the Gamecocks or Clemson, who's recruited about a million of these defensive ends over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere Georgia's kind of trying to get past maybe Rick Sandage territory. With a guy like Jordan Birch. I think Georgia might be in better a little bit with Alex Huntley, his teammate. He's another kid named Boogie, by the way, but Boogie Huntley. But those guys go to the same school. It's also the same school where Will Muschamp's son, Jackson Muschamp, is the quarterback. And it's right in the middle of Columbia. You know, Birch is a guy, I think the taste test there with Clemson in South Carolina is he's definitely favoring the South Carolina sauce right there with his recruitment. There's a lot of times where he was expected to be at Clemson and he ends up at South Carolina. Multiple trips, and these are easy trips for South Carolina. And, of course, the staff's trying to build a really great line with Zach Pickens as well, another ingrown, homegrown South Carolina prospect. I mean, Georgia's a school that I think can really advance itself with Jordan Burch over the weekend, to kind of go from that, you know, silver medal, bronze medal school to a school that would give Jordan Burch some real pause about his decision, especially with the momentum of it.
I was only spend 9 seconds on this, but the one thing that's kind of interesting is, you know, South Carolina hasn't really recruited as well over the last couple of years as I probably thought they would have, nowhere near what Muschamp was doing when he was at Florida. But between, you know, what Sandage was when they got him in the class 2018, getting Zach Pickens last year, and I've heard the early reviews on Pickens have been really, really strong, and what a guy like, you know, Burch might be were they to get him, and obviously there's still a long way to go before that. You know, the one area where Muschamp has done a pretty good job recruiting for South Carolina is on that defensive line.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, I think what South Carolina is doing is they're getting maybe three or four guys that look pretty sporty, but I don't think, you know, Ryan Helinski is a name. You know, Georgia fans are going to have to get used to hearing Helinski the way SEC rivals have gotten used to hearing Murray and Fromm over several seasons and several teams. I think Ryan Helinski is going to be a terrific player in the SEC. Problem is they just don't get 10 or 12 more guys like him, like the Bulldogs seem to do every year.
That's right. All right, last thing for you, Jeff. Love the piece up, and it's at DogNation.com right now. A lot of people who know Nolan Smith well reflect on what they think Nolan Smith is, and my takeaway from what you wrote was the way in which people always seem to reference personality in reference to Nolan. And, you know him certainly, obviously personally. I've seen him on practice a couple times. And, you know, that energy does seem to come through there, which I think helps him one day be a big leader for Georgia. But to couple what people think they know about Nolan the person, everything we've heard about Nolan the player thus far has been very complimentary, at least mostly complimentary. I get the impression that Nolan really is among the shortest of short list of potential freshman breakouts for Georgia this season. And if you want to go back over the last few years, I don't know that there have been as much justifiable expectations for a UGA freshman really in recent years than what there is for a Nolan right now. I'm interested in seeing the reaction to your piece at DogNation.com because I think that Nolan's going to end up being one of the most talked about guys from G-Day when it takes place tomorrow.
Yeah, so a little bit with that. I've known Nolan for quite some time, and I want to say this very simply. This is a player who I think will meet expectations at Georgia. And you say, wow, that's kind of like Kirby Smart's good. He's done a good job so far earlier this week. Well, for him to say that about a freshman says a lot because, you know, Georgia's like it's a little bit of this in that piece, but Georgia kind of wants to slow the brakes on all these freshmen, you know, especially the overblown story, like everybody writing about him being a future this or a future that. Nolan, in no uncertain terms, it seems like he is wired differently. Like his greatest abilities, besides the 4.5, and he was rated as the most athletic athlete by the Nike opening system last year. He was the Nike opening spark or opening football rating champion. And that included a 40-inch vertical, a 4.1 short shuttle, a 4.5 laser 40 at 6'3", 230. But his greatest tool in his toolbox is his mind. And it's a mentality that you cannot break me and I cannot be outworked. Now sometimes it'll come across as him being the guy that's always bugging the coaches about how I can get better or what do I need to do to get better or what else can I do. But I can remember when Nolan, as raw as he's ever been in his football career, leaves Calvary Day in Savannah and goes to IMG. And let's be real here, guys. That IMG line had Teron Vincent. It had Xavier Thomas. It had about four or five guys that were a year older than Nolan, and they were all going to be future stalwarts on the defensive line. They're already there in college football. Nolan arrives and very quickly becomes not maybe the alpha, but an alpha among that group. Which means he wasn't supposed to come in amongst these bigger men, older men, very talented men. He wasn't supposed to come in and shine, but when you go back and look at the IMG junior film, he might have been the second best defensive player they had that year.
Wow.
I mean, he had better stats than Xavier Thomas. He was right there with Teron Vincent. He was right there with a lot of the highest rated guys in the 2018 class. And to me, this just feels a lot like him going to Georgia and realizing that he shouldn't be the biggest, the fastest, or the strongest, and he's got to earn his role, but he just keeps being Nolan, puts his head down. You know, it's just a similar timeline throughout his career where he's just a little bit older, but it's the same challenge, and he's attacking that challenge in just the same way.
Jeff, it is a fantastic story. I hope people read that at DogNation.com. We appreciate your insight on UGA recruiting here today. You know how excited we are about the day, and we're going to lean on you for a lot of coverage tomorrow, and that coverage is obviously going to extend over the course of the next few days on DogNation.com as well. I look forward to seeing you in Athens tomorrow. I know a lot of Dog Nation daily listeners and viewers hope to run into you too, so we'll catch up then. Thanks for being with us here today, and we'll talk to you soon.
When we talk next Tuesday on this show, Brandon, I'm going to ask you the question. Did G-Day meet your expectations? Was your tempered belly full? And I'm sure you'll have an interesting answer to that.
All right. That is a nice preview of what's to come.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I want to do is be the one that's like, you know, hyping all this up and then not live up to what a lot of people want it to. Because, listen, when I read, you know, my Twitter mentions, when I see these comments, folks got expectations. They have got expectations. And so I'm right there with you. But I'm also one of these guys that likes to, you know, try not to set the bar too high. You know, I don't want to get my hopes up too much only to have them dashed. So that's a pretty good goal. Today is Friday. By the time we talk to Jeff Sintel again on Tuesday, what will we be talking about? That's an interesting thing to think about as Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger rolls on. I've got a lot of SEC Through stories I want to tell you about. We'll do those coming up. I do want to, though, let you know that in addition to being G-Day tomorrow, we also have something for the first time kicking off around UGA, and I want to make sure that you are aware of this. It's the very first ever UGA Alumni Giving Week. It starts tomorrow on April 20th, and it runs through April 26th. This is a great way for you, the graduate of the University of Georgia, to invest in the future of the university. It's your chance to prove that Bulldog Nation means business when it comes to changing the lives of our students and propelling UGA forward. Now, I also want to make you aware of this. For your gift, anyone who makes a gift during UGA Giving Week is going to get an exclusive Georgia Pennant magnet and a 20% discount from the UGA bookstore. By the way, we'll be at the UGA bookstore tomorrow for our Dog Nation post-game coverage of G-Day. But speaking of the bookstore, you'll get a 20% discount when you make your donation during Giving Week. And you'll also get one of those really, really cool magnets, Georgia Pennant magnets there. It's a great chance to really answer the call and rally around UGA and set this great institution up for much success for many years to come. Let me give you a website to go to so you can find out more about this. It's givingweek.uga.edu. Givingweek.uga.edu. So that begins tomorrow, and it's a real honor for us with the UGA Alumni Association when we use Dog Nation Daily to get all of that started. I'll see you also tomorrow at the UGA bookstore. We'll have more on that coming up in just a moment. For now, though, we talked yesterday about the very interesting drama involving Texas A&M and LSU. Now I want to lay all of this out because there are some pretty cool reverberations to all this. So Joe Oliva is out as LSU AD. He was embattled, not popular with people outside LSU and eventually with the people inside LSU. He's been replaced by Scott Woodward, the most recent Texas A&M athletic director. Now, let me roll through a lot of this kind of stuff. Ross Dellinger had a really interesting piece at SportsIllustrated.com about the fact that, you know, A&M and LSU have been playing at the end of the season now for a few years, but since A&M has come into the SEC, this really isn't, at least to start off with, that much of a real rivalry. But what Dellinger, who lives in Baton Rouge and knows the Tigers well, says is, it's a real rivalry now. You had the lawsuit involving the old defensive coordinator, John Chavis. You've got, you know, this issue now with they almost got Dave Aranda at Texas A&M. LSU ends up giving him a big raise to stay. And now LSU steals Texas A&M's athletic director. What Dellinger says is, when these two teams play this year, you better believe that A&M and LSU is now a real rivalry, which I think is kind of interesting. But there are other fallout and reverberation to all this, too. Cecil Hurt, writing for the Tuscaloosa News, says that there's already been some scuttlebutt and some questioning about whether or not Alabama athletic director Greg Byrne, who is a Texas native, whether he might consider going to Texas A&M. Byrne tells Cecil Hurt, the writer, that he has not talked to Texas A&M about this and has no plans to do so. So maybe the Alabama athletic director stays put, but after one AD hops from one SEC school to another, there was already a rumor mill that another SEC AD may look to do the same thing. Now, you think of Alabama as being, obviously from a football standpoint, about as good a job as you can get, but don't forget about the money that Texas A&M has been willing to throw around. Big dollars to its basketball coach, Buzz Williams. Big dollars to its football coach, Jimbo Fisher. That kind of power for an athletic director can be pretty enticing. But according to Cecil Hurt, Greg Byrne doesn't have any plans about going back home to Texas for that. But then there is this, and this may be the most interesting thing of all. Brent Zwerneman, writing for the Houston Chronicle, says that one thing to keep in mind is Woodward, the AD who left Texas A&M to go to LSU, is a very close friend of Jimbo Fisher's. And that the number one reason maybe why Fisher, in addition to the millions and millions of dollars, but the start of that conversation for Fisher at A&M was the fact that Woodward and Fisher were such good friends. So what about Ed Orgeron at LSU? If he falls on hard times, you better believe the rumor mill will heat up quickly that maybe Jimbo might leave A&M and go join his buddy Woodward at LSU. There is no shortage of drama in the SEC, and at A&M and LSU, connected through the story, there's plenty more drama to come very soon. A couple other very quick SEC through stories to get to. I saw where Auburn got a quarterback commit. His name's Chael Garnett, and he's a three-star prospect. The truth is, I don't really know a ton about him, but I saw they got him on the heels of their spring game last weekend. The reason why I bring this up is, you know, a guy we used to talk about a lot was Robbie Ashford, the quarterback from Hoover. When he recently released his list of finalists, Georgia was not included. That's not a surprise. Georgia's got the commitment of Carson Beck. Auburn was. At one point in time, this was kind of thought to be an Auburn-Georgia battle. With Auburn just getting a quarterback commit, does this mean something different for Ashford, especially when looks like right now there's a very good chance Auburn may have a freshman starter at some point this season in Bo Nix? So Ashford's a name we've talked about a lot before, but as it stands now, I've never been less sure of where it is that he may end up playing his college football. And then speaking of quarterbacks, I'll also mention very briefly that Matthew Baldwin, the quarterback at Ohio State, competing with Justin Fields for the starting job there with the Buckeyes, has entered the transfer portal. I don't think this is a surprise necessarily to the people at Ohio State, but he did split some number one reps with the Buckeyes for their spring game a week ago. So the writing may have been on the wall internally, but at least publicly, Ryan Day had done his part trying to make this seem like it was going to be a real competition between him and obviously a name you know, Justin Fields. It looks like right now, though, Fields is the clear start at Ohio State, and there is not a lot of depth behind him. That's going to be a problem for Ohio State, regardless of how well Fields plays. We'll make that your SEC throw. And here today on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. You know, it's a Friday show for us, and around here that means trying to kick off the weekend in style. And this weekend's a pretty fun weekend to get kicked off. We're all kind of looking forward and heading towards the weekend. Easter on Sunday, that's a big deal. But Saturday is G-Day. With that in mind, let's get ready to do our Kroger kickoff and give you an update on everything happening around UGA Athletics. Now, the main event of the weekend is, of course, G-Day, 2 p.m. on Saturday for that. We're all excited about heading towards Athens, but keep in mind, there are other UGA Athletic events this weekend. Diamond Dogs, it's a Thursday through Saturday series against Missouri. Missouri team, by the way, it's probably better than you realize, entered the top 25 this past week after a really good series the week before that against LSU, but Georgia got the win last night. How about Emerson Hancock on the mound for the Diamond Dogs? A game that Georgia needed a big pitching performance because of the 20-inning affair earlier in the week against Clemson. They got it from Hancock and got some late offense to win that game. That was a pretty exciting deal for the Diamond Dogs last night. That series continues today and then concludes on Saturday. Gym Dogs in the NCAA semifinals, that's this weekend. Men's and women's tennis in the SEC tournament, that runs all weekend. You've got the softball team also hosting Tennessee here as well. So busy weekend around UGA Athletics as we do our Kroger kickoff. And speaking of our friends at Kroger, you've been hearing me say this to you for a while, but I want you to keep in mind of this, especially for those of you who are got some, you know, things that you're cooking this weekend. You know, one of the things a lot of people think about is like an Easter brunch. And for me, when I think brunch, I'm thinking, you know, shrimp and grits. Well, did you know that when you're making that, the grits to go with that shrimp and grits, that milk is a big part of that? That's one of the main ingredients in that. When I think milk, I think about real dairy milk from Georgia cows, and that's the kind of thing that you find at Kroger. We love the great agricultural heritage that the state of Georgia has, and for me, milk is a big part of that, and I love real dairy milk, from Georgia cows, Georgia farms, and Kroger's got that. So please check out your local Atlanta Kroger for the milk that you drink and the milk that you use and a lot of the recipes that you love, including the stuff that you'll be serving on the table for Easter on Sunday. It's the Kroger Kickoff brought to you by Kroger here on Dog Nation Daily Today, brought to you by Kroger. Before we wrap up the show, let me also go back off the top of the program just for a moment, because off the top of the program, we talked about what Dan Mullen had said about George earlier this week and kind of having some fun at the dog's expense. Then I played the audio of what Kirby Smart had said in response to that. And as you might imagine, Kirby's not playing games with this. I think privately this is going to be another source of motivation for George once you get to that game. There were a couple of other quick notes that I wanted to mention from that interview. And for those of you that normally watch on video, if you listen on the radio, we post the podcast, the worldfamousdognation.com. I'll put a link to the full interview from 680 The Fan on there because a couple things that stood out from that interview. Nolan Smith's name does come up. Jeff Sintel had a lot to say about him a moment ago. He called, this is Kirby Smart, called safety Lewisine a big hitter. He kind of volunteered that. He says that Georgia wide receiver Matt Landers has had a good spring thus far. The one thing that Kirby did say also in this interview, though, is he feels like right now he's kind of missing some speed from that wide receiver group, alluded once again to the guys who are coming in later on this summer, including Dominic Blaylock and George Pickens. We've talked about a lot, Lawrence Cager, the transfer from Miami. Kirby Smart allowed that. And then, once again, at least a little bit kind of push back on the hype for this offensive line. He doesn't deny that guys like Andrew Thomas are heading towards a big future in the NFL, likely first-round picks, but he cited the example of Zion Williamson. Sometimes just because you've got the professional sports future doesn't necessarily guarantee you a championship at the college level. My guess is those Georgia offensive linemen will heed that message. So it was good stuff from Kirby Smart. We like the idea that he's getting motivated for the cocktail party, and we got some more business to take care of before we get there, including G-Day tomorrow. So speaking of those lousy stinking Gators, 902 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. We love doing this around here. It's our Gator Hater Update. We're heading towards 1,000 pretty soon. We're going to be there. Also, we're not too far away from episode number 1,000 of Dog Nation Daily. That's kind of a cool thing to think about, too. So it's going to be a really fun summer around Dog Nation Daily as both those numbers look to climb. Let me also finish with a quick announcement about something. So tomorrow, we're going to have an awesome day in and around Athens. Kroger Kickoff starts us off with the dog walk and everything else before the game. After the game, inside the UGA bookstore for our Dog Nation post-game coverage. That's going to be a lot of fun. Natrez Patrick, the former Georgia linebacker, is going to be with us. You heard Natrez on Dog Nation yesterday. That was great. Former Georgia wide receiver Javon Wims had a little bit of a travel issue. He's going to stay in Chicago. We're going to catch up with him on Dog Nation Daily again very soon. But I'll see you tomorrow in Athens for G-Day. Talk to you then, everybody.